following weekly horse health segment is taken from the Horses in the Morning radio show on the Horse Radio Network, and the content is provided by thehorse.com. Horses in the Morning is the only live morning radio show devoted to horse lovers worldwide. Listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Well, good morning, Dr. Jones, and good morning again to Erica. Thanks for stopping by with some information for us today. It looks like equine Cushing's is on the list.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
So go to town, tell me about equine Cushing's, because I don't know anything.
All right, will do. Well, Dr. Jones, could you first tell us a little bit about what equine Cushing's or PPID is?
Yes, the actual definition of the PPID is pituitary pars intermedia dysfunction. So it's a big, long Latin word for Cushing's disease, or the pituitary gland in the brain is having some issues, I guess would be my easiest way to describe it. It actually has a growth on it that makes it kind of go a little out of control.
And what effects will that have on a horse?
The primary effects we see are the adrenal gland gets affected. The adrenal glands start to overproduce cortisol in the horse. And I use the word cortisol because it's more identifiable by horse people, because that's cortisone, which is the steroids that we always are concerned about using in horses because it could founder them. So if you think about it, you've got this growth on the pituitary gland spitting out a bunch of hormones, which is what the pituitary gland does, and it's affecting organs inappropriately, especially the adrenal gland, and it's making the adrenal gland make more adrenaline or cortisol, and then that now is floating through the horse's body at a higher rate than you can imagine. That what our primary concern is with PPID or Cushing's horses is founder. So just the fact that, you know, there are some clinical signs to PPID, such as the long hair growth. Now, this is usually in an aged horse. The very long hair growth is the common thing that we all talk about it. The big fancy term for that is hirsutism. The pot belly look to them, they get a little less top line muscling across their top line. So they get a little bony across the top line, a little more pot bellied under the bottom. And they can get some fat deposits in spaces they didn't have them before, above the eyes, the common area where they usually indent. They'll have the little fat deposits above the eye. All these things, we see a horse and we'll probably clinically say, you know what, they've most likely got Cushing's. Then the next step should be, let's test for it. Now, we're not going to test to see if they for sure have it, because most likely they do. What we're testing to see is, what levels are ACTH at? That's what I do in my practice, because we want to treat it appropriately, and we may have to retest to make sure our treatment is taking care of the pituitary gland and getting it under control. So the big reason why we want to combat it or control it is because of the risk of founder or laminitis, which we all fear and hate.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that it's often seen in aged horses. Is there a group of horses, as far as an age group of horses, that are more at risk? Is it ever seen in younger horses?
No. In younger horses, we think more of an insulin issue when we see some abnormalities. I wouldn't say they have the long hair abnormalities, but they could have fat deposits and things like that. So we think more insulin, which does come from a production sometimes of cortisol as well. But no, 15 years of age or more would be a good starting point. Primarily people are looking at it at 18 and 20. But I say anything over 15 years of age has a possibility of contracting this disease.
Okay.
And then as far as breeds, they did the study at Tennessee on Welsh ponies and Morgan horses. And so I could say that those two would probably have a higher predilection for this, but all breeds can have it. I have Tennessee Walkers with it. I have quarter horses. I have Arabs. I even have Argentine polo horses that are on pergolide. So any and all breeds can be susceptible to this disease.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a miniature horse who has it, and she's 24. So. We're you know, keeping it under control. Now, you mentioned treatment. How is PPID treated, and how effective is the treatment?
The treatment of choice has always been, well, actually there's been two of them in the past, cyproheptadine and pergolide. These were extracted from the human world by what they did in the human world, and we just extrapolated them to the horses. We never actually tested them in the horses. Over time, we found that actually pergolide worked better than cyproheptadine, and unfortunately, they took it off the human market many years ago. It was used for Parkinson's disease, and they had to take it off. We had to scrape, literally, to get them to bring it on the compounding world, and so we had it compounded for many, many years. We now have a true pergolide product made for horses, easy to administer, called Praesend. It's the only one on the market. It is a very good product, and I highly recommend that those people that are using compounded, please stop using compounded, go to pergolide. A, it's illegal to use the compounded, but B, the pergolide Praesend is a better product. And no, I'm not being paid by the company to say that. It is a more effective product because it is truly 100% pergolide when they test it, where the compoundings vary when you're giving it to the horse.
Okay, so horses, you know, if a horse is in pretty good shape other than having PPID, can they return to any sort of athletic function with treatment?
Oh, absolutely, yes, and it's always encouraged to keep an older horse moving anyway. So I have some of my clients that are riding every morning, and, you know, now it's getting very hot and muggy, so they're getting up at 5 or 6 and riding in the morning, going for a nice trail ride before they head off to work. They're still trail riding their horses and giving them pergolide. I highly recommend it. I've got jumpers or little hunter ponies that are on it. So the kids usually ride the older horses, and sometimes women who have gotten up in age and men who have gotten up in age that don't want to fall off of a young, spry horse. We have these older horses that we need to manage, and it's the kindest thing to do for them for the founder protection. I wouldn't say it's guaranteed, but at least you're trying to do something to prevent possible founder on these horses, and certainly, by all means, they can go back to work.
Okay. Now, you mentioned founder. Are there any other side effects or other issues that could come up with PPID?
Oh, yeah. The one thing that my one client did notice is she has her horses in half day and out half day. They tend to drink a lot and urinate a lot, and the use of pergolide helps to slow that down. She, and this is my kudos to the company that's making the product, and I recommend this to all the clients that are, all the horse owners that are listening, is that if you are treating your horse and you're using their product and you don't think that it's getting better, you can call the company and they will possibly retest your horse for free. They did this for my client. She felt that the urination and heavy drinking did not slow down after we put the horse on pergolide. We found out that the 1 milligram dose was not enough for her horse. She's now at 1.5 milligrams and everything has stopped and her ACTH levels are normal. So she is in a good place now with keeping it under control. And that helped us know that we can hopefully protect her from founder or laminitis in the future. Other things that you see are, let's say, a skin infection that doesn't get better. It takes longer for them to heal because they are under a lot of stress from that cortisol release, and that stresses their body, so they can't heal very fast. Sometimes they get really lethargic when they have Cushing's. They're poor doers. They can start to lose weight. Those are your main ones that we mostly see besides the long hair, of course, and they need to be clipped. Even on the pergolide, a lot of them still will need to be clipped. They may not lose that long hair coat.
Dr. Jones, of course, every time we do things with thehorse.com, it creates curious questions for me. With PPID, is catching it early on, because I'm assuming that the longer it goes, the worse it gets if left alone. Does catching it early and putting them on appropriate medical treatment, is that a better scenario than the horse has had it for 5 or 6 years, he's in a very poor state, let's finally get it taken care of? Is it better to start right when you start to see those symptoms and get them tested?
Yes, it is. They're going to be on the drug the rest of their life. You have to understand that, because as soon as you stop the drug, it gives the pituitary gland the chance to become enlarged and have that growth get bigger. It's not a cancer growth, as we would all think, as they're going to die from this cancer. It's a exuberant growth that can occur in any animal, and it's going to cause more demise in the infection or the founder situations that the horses are running into than it will being a growth of the pituitary. So if you start, think about this, if you start early and you give them this pergolide, you can slow that growth down to keep them from getting a very large growth and having now that growth taking over the pituitary even more so, and all you're doing is stopping it at that point. So earlier is definitely better because it will slow it down.
Uh-huh. And are there any,
there we go.
Are there any early clinical signs that owners can watch for, maybe not so obvious as the long hair coat or something, that owners should be on the lookout for?
I'd say poor performance would be one thing to test for. It wouldn't hurt because, really, nowadays, the primary testing is a blood test, a ACTH test, and we do it first thing in the morning. I always run it with my insulin test because I want to see what their insulin's doing. So we do a fasting insulin ACTH test first thing in the morning, but the ACTH is what they're looking for because that's secreted by the pituitary. So they want to see what the level is, and you do it. In the morning, you can get their level, and from there, determine should you do another test to really confirm it because it's kind of borderline, or do you just stick with that result and say, hey, yeah, it's elevated, and I think they may be heading into PPID, and let's start treating it, treat it, and then retest.
What do you think the top things that horse owners should know about PPID are?
Founder. Laminitis is the number one thing. They should be concerned about that, especially ponies. Unfortunately, your mini, they're at high risk of having that, and that's just something you just don't want to go through. A metabolic, as they've always said in the past, a metabolic founder are harder for veterinarians to control and treat than one that's been induced by something else, like a disease or road founder, as they call it in the draft horses, that kind of thing. When it comes from inside, you can't stop whatever that is inside from continuing to cause the founder to get worse and worse and worse. So if you aren't trying to stop this pituitary gland from excreting more and more hormone, that the ACTH that affects the cortisol, then you're just opening up your horse for more founder episodes and possibly the worst founder episode that they could have, which would cause their end of life. So founder is the number one thing that I'd be concerned about. The muscle wasting is a concern because especially if you have a performance horse or even a trail riding horse, you want to make sure that they're able to keep up their muscle tone and that helps their joints and such. Then the heavy drinking and heavy urinating can cause some issues. We don't see too many kidney or urinary issues with horses, but over time, as these horses are getting older, if they're not addressed, there may be some issues that you might see down the line. But the founder is the number one.
Excellent. Great information.
So, great information. Are there some articles or fact sheets at thehorse.com that our listeners can take advantage of, Erica?
There are. We've got lots of information on equine Cushing's on thehorse.com, and actually in the June issue of The Horse magazine, there's a great article on Cushing's testing, the different testing options. That's very informative. Ooh. I really enjoyed reading that one myself.
I didn't know there were different ways to test.
Yeah, all of them are very little invasive tests. They're mostly blood work type tests, possibly an injection of dexamethasone, a steroid. But it's not a really invasive test. So, they're not doing kind of, sedations and MRIs of the heads or anything or CTs of the heads. They're just doing blood work, and it's really easy to do.
Well, fascinating stuff. Well, once again, thank you very much, Dr. Jones, for stopping by. That was very informative, and now I'm going to have to go to thehorse.com and go over there and look up some stuff on equine Cushing's. And thank you, Erica, for filling in for our vacationing friend today.